Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Pastor Mkandawira.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I was worried you would not be hearing me today. It's pouring cats and dogs.
I don't know if you're able
to hear me clearly today.
Well, we hear you very clearly, and we must thank God for the rains, eh?
Oh, great. Indeed. And thank God you can hear me still.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Now, we're concluding that the lesson on building resilience, getting through the necessary struggles of life, and how to get the most out of every experience and never wasting a crisis. Mm. And now, if we can't avoid it altogether, we may as well get the most out of it and not let it go to waste. But if struggle is so necessary, one wonders if we should be praying for it to end. And so if tests and trials are there to make us stronger, and that when we get to the other side, we are much better people than we were before, does that mean that we shouldn't pray for relief?
No, it doesn't. In fact, yes, we should pray for relief. We have examples in scripture of those who prayed. Paul is one of them. So Paul prayed. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he actually prayed thrice.
Oh, yeah?
But then the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient, Paul." And so he asked that this thing be taken away from him, but God refused.
Mm.
Another example in scripture is that of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Matthew 26, verse 39, the Bible says he prayed, "Let this cup be taken away from me, but not as I will, let your will be done." And so Jesus, knowing that he came to die for us and that his death would be the only means for the salvation of human beings, still prayed for the cup to be lifted from him. So if Christ prayed knowing exactly what his mission was, if Paul would keep going back to God even thrice over the same thing, we are encouraged to pray about it. And here are two reasons. The reasons are that, first of all, Jesus himself promises us that tribulations will be cut short. And so we ought to pray that they actually be cut short. The other reason is so that God's grace may be sufficient to us. Now, in Paul's case, he prayed until God convinced him that his grace was sufficient. Like Paul, we too must pray, because praying makes us strong. And so when God convinces us that his grace is sufficient, then we are able to bear whatever load that we have. So we ought to pray and not just let it be. We ought to pray so that God can convince us his grace is sufficient. And until we are convinced, then we are made ready to bear that load.
Mm.
And then Jesus says, praying that your flight be not on the Sabbath or in the winter, when he speaks to the disciples concerning the signs of his return and the signs of the last days. He says, pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. And then a few passages down that verse, he tells us that if these tests are not cut short, no one would survive. And so for the sake of the elect, the test must be cut short. And so we ought to pray that God would give us the grace to endure this test, and that the period of testing be cut short for us to bear.
Mm.
So we do need to pray.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear that, man, because I was thinking that now that we are actually being polished, now that we're being cooked, we might as well just enjoy it. But you're saying, no, we can actually pray that it doesn't
yes.
last long. But then tell me, Pastor, mm-hmm. is it therefore a sin to grumble, to murmur, to complain when things are going tough? I mean, does God understand I'm complaining here because I'm feeling the pain, the heat, or does he count it against us as lack of faith?
Ah, nice question. So, the story of Job is a very classic example in this case.
Mm.
The Bible says that in all these things, Job did not sin with his lips, meaning he kept his integrity even in speech amidst everything he was going through. Now, Scripture tells us not to complain. So let me just read two passages, and then I'll refer to one other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. This is what the Bible says. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And so God intends that we shine, that we are blameless before him. And so he says, don't complain. So that you may be blameless, and so that you may shine in the world among those who are crooked. The other passage is 1 Corinthians. Now, this one is beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Listen to what it says. The Bible says, no complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, Paul here is referring to those on their way from Egypt to Canaan in the wilderness, when they murmured, complained, grumbled against God, and God sent a destroying angel. Paul is saying, these things happened to them so that they may be an example to us. So Paul says, don't complain like those in the wilderness did and failed to make it to the promised land. God understands we are going through trials and tribulations because he understands. He knows what we need in aid so that we may overcome these trials and tribulations. However, he does not allow complaints. He doesn't hate the complainer. He only hates the complaints. And so he says to us, don't complain. Seek his help instead. Because you know what happens when we complain? We are saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. Why would you put me through such? And so we are actually slighting his power in aiding us, in polishing us, so that we may be resilient in the wake of adversity. And so complaining simply slights the power of God. And that is why God doesn't like it. Because of this, Romans chapter 8, verse 8, verse 28 tells us all things happen together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. And so it is his purpose that we be put through these trials and tribulations for our polishing. And because of that purpose, it is good for us, because all things work together for good. There is not a single thing in this world that would happen to a child of God if God doesn't allow it.
Not
a single thing. And so when he allows it, he has a purpose for it.
But now tell me, is it not, I know we're not supposed to complain, et cetera, et cetera, to explain, but is it not in our nature, though, Pastor? I mean,
it is.
Surely we cannot be blamed for it. Surely we cannot be, punished for, you know, we're simply just natural beings, man.
You're right. It is in our nature. And that is why the Bible says, let this mind, verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. And so God, by bringing these trials, is trying to change our nature from a fallen, feeble nature, from a nature that is inclined to sin, to a nature that is like that of Jesus Christ, one that is inclined to righteousness. And so he says in chapter 15, so that you may become blameless and harmless children, so that he changes our nature. And so it is in our nature to complain, yes, but God is doing this in order to change that nature into a glorious one, one that is blameless and harmless before him, one that shines among those that are crooked on the earth.
Yeah. Now, you know, many people faced intense trials in the past year, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And 2025 doesn't mm-hmm. seem to promise to be even any better, by the way. So how do we encourage mm-hmm. them or even ourselves, knowing that the season of struggle mm-hmm. may be far from over?
True, true. And one of those people is myself.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
My.
So this is encouragement to myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, as I encourage myself, this question reminds me of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and Paul's own prayer concerning that thorn he had in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. The idea of staying strong in the face of adversity is easier said than done.
Mm.
In truth, we are to stay strong, not complain and depend on God. But because we are flesh and blood, it is not as easy to do as it is easy to say it. And so when you say it to somebody else, it is easy. But when it is on you to actually practice, it is not as easy. Now, like I said, I am one of those people, and I don't think things will be changing anytime soon, but I am hopeful. The thing is, God is too good, too wise, too gracious to error. And so, if he said to us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, then it will not.
Mm-hmm.
If he said that his grace is sufficient, then it is. If he has made us promises that he will be with us during those trials and temptations, then he will be.
Yes.
If he said that all things work together for good, then they actually do, because God said them, and so they are true. And so the only encouragement is simply hold on to the word of God.
Oh, yeah?
Because God is too wise to error, too gracious to put you through needless trial. He is too good. Now, Matthew chapter 28, chapter 6, rather, Matthew 6, please allow me to read this text.
Yes,
Matthew
do.
6, verse, Matthew 6, verse 25 to 27. Let me be very quick. This is what the Bible says, Matthew 6, 25 to 27. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat? What you will eat or what you will drink?
Mm-hmm.
Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? The NIV says, which of you can add 1 hour to your life by worrying? And so, the best we could do in such circumstances, when we are in trial and tribulation, and when we don't see light at the end of the tunnel, hold on to the word of God.
Mm.
Because God says, it shall be well. It shall be well indeed, because he said it. So let's just hold on to his word. And we take him by his word. Keep faithful, and God will do his part.
I like that. Keep faithful and God will do his part. Very, very important. I do want to thank you so much for this, my pastor. Well, it has been a fantastic afternoon.
Amen.
And I mean, also a great, great week. I do hope that you're going to be having a blessed, you know, weekend, and that you're going to have a fantastic, fantastic Sabbath ahead, eh?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a lovely one too.
Lovely. Thank you so much for your time.
Wish well to all our listeners.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.